Americans spend millions of dollars annually trying to control our sleep, paying for drugs to knock us out or keep us up, not to mention all those cups of coffee. But at NASA, the science of sleep is a crucial element of space missions. Picture the teams operating the Mars rover Spirit right now. For more than a week, while their bodies have stayed in Pasadena, these scientists have had to adjust their sleep cycles to Martian time. And they've got several months to go. Joining us now from the Ames Research Center to talk about working an alien day is Melissa Malas, Principal Investigator for NASA's Fatigue Countermeasures Group. Good of you to join us.
Thank you.
Tell us, the Martian day is only, about 40 minutes longer than an Earth day. So how big a difference does this make?
Well, what the scientists and engineers are required to do is shift their sleep schedules and wake cycles 39 to 40 minutes each day, so they'll be working on a rotating shift schedule.
So, obviously, they're minding the rover Spirit during the Martian day, so they have to be there at dawn whenever that is.
Yes, and this will require them to work around the clock, so it's not only night shift and shift work, but it will be rotating, and each day they will report to work approximately 40 minutes later.
And over a couple of months, this can add up.
Yes, it can add up. The data has not been collected on the specifics of a 40-minute shift each day, but we are collecting some field data, and we are documenting people's sleep-wake patterns to see how these people are able to adapt to a Mars day.
Now, as I understand it, the last time there was a rover on Mars, it didn't last as long as Spirit is expected to last, but people went nuts after a while.
Well, actually, we have been working with the JPL scientists and engineers and the managers, and they will be working a schedule in which they work for 4 days, and they will have 3 days off so they can obtain the ample recovery sleep necessary to maintain alertness and performance levels.
And they're also, as you suggested, subjects of experiments themselves. You're following them to see what you can learn.
Yes, we have about 30 volunteers of scientists and engineers, and we will document their sleep duration, when they go to bed and when they wake up, and when they take naps in preparation for a duty, to see how long they are able to sleep and adjust to this Mars schedule.
Now, one of the big problems with if you're off your sleep cycle is fatigue.
Yes. And research has demonstrated that with sleep restriction and sleep deprivation, you can have some performance and alertness decrements and changes. But what we have done to help the scientists and engineers is we've provided them with fatigue countermeasures training, and we have taught them how to implement different countermeasures such as napping, caffeine, or activity, as well as schedule manipulation, so they can help to maximize their sleep and maximize their performance and alertness.
It seems to me that a lot of us could do with fatigue manipulation.
Yes, it's experienced in all aspects of society.
Let's get some callers on the line. 800-989-8255, by the way, if you've ever experienced changing shifts like this. And Robert joins us on the line from Casper, Wyoming.
Hello, Neil.
Hi, Robert.
I got an interesting one for you. Coming up on 3 years ago now, I was in the United States Navy. I was a submariner. Every time we go out to sea, we go to an 18-hour day instead of a 24-hour day.
So on an 18-hour day, were you 9 hours on and 9 hours off?
Nope. Well, 3 hours on watch, 3 hours working, and it came out to about 4 hours of sleep when you factored in, showering and eating and all the other things of that nature.
And how did you feel after shifting onto this schedule?
In a way, you got used to it. Granted, there were times of fatigue, like the other person's talking about, and we all just had our different ways of adjusting. Like some of our chiefs, I swear to this day, had their left arm cocked to that coffee cup, 24/7. And one of my things was I taught myself to involuntarily shudder when I was on watch. You know, if I started to feel myself fall asleep, I just all of a sudden, my muscles would all seize up, instantly. you know, it just wake me up. And to this day, if I catch myself falling asleep, you know, somewhere where I really shouldn't be falling asleep, I still do that.
You might find that stance with that cup of coffee permanently welded into your hand if you visit the overnight shift here at Morning Edition some night. Not unfamiliar. Melissa Malice, presumably the Navy does not do this lightly. Clearly, they don't want people making fatigue errors on submarines.
I don't know how to answer that one without...
No, I was actually asking the person at NASA.
Correct, and that's why it's really important to protect sleep time so you can maximize your sleep opportunity. As the gentleman was saying, as the caller who called in, that once you factor in showering and eating and any other duties that you might have, you may not get the ample amount of sleep. And so in scheduling the scientists and engineers on their time off, we have allowed for a long enough period that they can obtain at least an 8-hour sleep opportunity, plus they can go about their daily activities and other duties.
Well, Robert, I assume that one of the first things you did when you got back to base and got out of the submarine was take a good long nap.
Well, that's what they say, but I have only one thing to say, and that's I'm jealous of what they're planning for the scientists because they didn't do that for us.
Okay.
Used to going without sleep.
Robert, thanks very much for the call.
Not a problem. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Let's get another person on the line. This is Anne, and Anne's calling from Eugene, Oregon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question. I want to know if you can confirm this or not. I was told by a sleep researcher that when they've done studies where people have been put in, say, a cave-type situation where they didn't have the daylight cues to tell them when to sleep, and they were given no instructions as far as when to be awake and when to sleep, that when humans find their own biological rhythm, that rather than being on our typical 24-hour day as we know it, that they actually adapt to a Martian day.
When you put somebody in a cave or in the scientific world, what we call that is time isolation. There are actually laboratories in which they remove all time cues and exposure to light. People tend to free run, and what this means is their internal circadian rhythm, their biological rhythm, it tends to be a little bit longer than 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it is easier to adapt to a Mars day, which would be lengthening your schedule, than it would be to adapt to the Navy day of 18 hours, which would be shortening your schedule. So it is true that the light exposure that we receive here on Earth on a 24-hour cycle really helps to keep us on a 24-hour rhythm. We get the time cues from the light, but when you remove that light, you tend to free run at a slightly longer period.
What?
Okay, could I ask one more question then?
Okay.
So might this be an indication that humans are more adapted to a natural cycle of Mars, and maybe that's where we came from? I know you don't want to talk about that, but I just need to ask it.
Right. We do tend to be on a slightly longer cycle, and it may not be as long as 40 minutes. We will be able to further investigate this with some laboratory research that's being conducted at Harvard University and University of Pennsylvania. But, yes, we do tend to be a little bit longer than 24 hours.
And somebody in the control room just reminded me that this is always sex-specific because, as we know, men are from Mars.
Yes, right. Well, we've confirmed that, haven't we?
Thanks very much, Anne.
Thank you.
Bye.
And one final question for you, Melissa. What happens to astronauts on the space station who are getting all kinds of crazy time cues when the Earth rises so many times and the sun rises so many times during the day?
Well, that is one of the areas that's being investigated because as the shuttle orbits the Earth, you are exposed to a different light-dark cycle. And they're doing some research in which they are looking at administering light at different times during the day in different intensities to try and keep people on a 24-hour cycle. Because of the erratic light exposure patterns, there have been changes in sleep patterns and performance.
Thanks very much, and
sure.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Melissa Malice is a research psychologist, the principal investigator for NASA's Fatigue Countermeasures Group. We wish them all the good luck in the world. We all need it. We reached her at the Ames Research Center at Moffett Field in California. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.